This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. We go to Mino and the Mayor out of Green Bay, and this week they had a very important discussion with Sarah Donahue, Executive Director at Community for Hope of Greater Oshkosh, about Project Safeguard, a suicide prevention program. They also talk with her about how the organization supports those who have been affected by suicide.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Thank you so much for Chris Leonard from the Press Times and Carrie Yang, who does a little bit of everything in downtown Green Bay. It's fantastic. Also, of course, John Kramer and Kevin Osgood, United States Coast Guard Auxiliary for the All Canada Show. Everything going on there. And, you know, we always talk about fishing, but there's all kinds of hunting trips there. You can go above the Yukon, all sorts of crazy things that are just so much fun. Right now, we're with Sarah Donahue, Executive Director at Community of Hope for Greater Oshkosh Suicide Survivor Loss Support Group and Project Safeguard. Sarah, that's a really big title. So we're going to let you break it down into small pieces. How's that?
That would be great.
Good morning and welcome and thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm the Director of Community for Hope here in Oshkosh. We're a suicide prevention nonprofit. We've been around since 2001. And so I've been the director about 5 years. What we do is offer education to the community. So we offer a training called QPR, stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. And it's just a real basic warning signs of suicide, mental health awareness, how to talk to people about mental health. So we offer that to anyone in the community. And then we also offer grief support groups. So when someone has a loss by suicide, we reach out to the family, we reach out to employers, schools, whoever's involved, and then we offer grief support groups.
Great. That is so important. Let's talk about the suicide and where one can get help. You know, here in Green Bay, we have the Hope and Help. It's just a text away. Do you have something that people can... I know we kind of tried that 211. I don't know if that ever really got going, but if we know somebody or if we are someone that's just contemplating suicide...
Yep. So we still encourage people to use that Hope and Help line from the Center for Suicide Awareness. We all try to work together. There's enough need to go around, right?
Right.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is up and running. And so we do encourage people to utilize 988. What's really great about the 988 Crisis Lifeline, you can text that number, you could call it. It's not just for individuals who are experiencing a mental health crisis. For example, if I've got a sibling or a friend that's struggling and I'm not quite sure how to help them, where to send them, what to say, I can call or text 988 and they can help walk me through that.
Sarah, let me ask you a question that's just in my mind. I hope it's not a bad question, but correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm certainly not trying to put myself in some place where I don't know what I'm talking about. But I almost seem like if somebody's at that point of suicide, it's almost past the point maybe at times of them making that call versus somebody very, very close to them making that call. Would that be somewhat correct? That other person is really, really important in trying to accomplish what you folks are trying to accomplish?
I mean, certainly the more people involved, the more people that are aware of what's going on, it is going to be more helpful. I think where we're really working and focusing on is trying to reduce the stigma of people talking about mental health. So even you having us on the show today to talk about this, I mean, it's not necessarily, sometimes my husband cringes when we're in a social setting and someone asks me what I do for a living. And he's like, oh boy. It's not generally a topic people are excited to talk about. But we really believe that the more conversations we have around mental health and saying the word suicide, talking about suicide prevention, the more likely someone's going to reach out for help. They're going to reach out to that person close to them.
Yeah. And I think you're right about that. We spend so much money and time from, you know, the neck down, and we all got personal trainers and vitamins and just this crazy stuff. And everybody sits around and talks about where they're working out. But when it comes from the neck up, some people don't. I will tell you, and I have a show coming up, two of them, that talks about mental health. And like, I'm okay with that. You know, when I was leaving office, pretty stressed out and saw a counselor, and my kids are got good. We talk about it like it's not like a personal trainer, but we're not like ashamed of that. Suicide, you know, mental health doesn't mean suicide. You know what I mean? And that's part of the problem we have is like if you mental health, well, you could be depressed, but it doesn't mean you're going to kill yourself. It just means, look, I'm depressed right now. So
absolutely.
To talk about, I'm really glad you're on this show because I two things I want to talk to you about, but just this whole where to get help, because people are very shy about saying, look, I'm not feeling right. And people know their body better than anybody else, right? If you feel like you're not wired right, I mean, who can I call on that? 998, that's a good thing. What else is in your community?
Yep. So we have a variety of different services. So I would say in the Neenah area, ThetaCare Behavioral Health has a walk-in clinic now. So they have a walk-in clinic for specific for behavioral health, for mental health. We also have our Winnebago County Crisis Line that you could call 988. Those are the main resources. But I like what you said about that because you're right. Here's the other part. Not everybody who's struggling with their mental health needs to call a crisis line.
Right.
Not everybody needs to seek out professional help. Sometimes they just need to know that there's someone they can talk to that they trust that's not going to judge them.
I've known six people that have committed suicide, and I never thought any one of them was at a critical point.
Right.
Are there signs that I've missed that others miss? Is there something that maybe is a red flag that maybe we just, and I hate to say it, almost like laugh off? Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, if you had an hour and a half for me, I could give you a whole bunch of warning signs. But I will say one thing to recognize is that the population at highest risk for suicide right now is middle-aged men.
There you go.
I know that.
Every one of them I'm talking about was a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
Every single one.
And you think, was their whole life like, you feel really bad for them. I mean,
they didn't have bad lives on the surface at all. You know what I mean? It's not like somebody says, oh my God, I got fired from my job at the mill. I'll never work again. Yeah. It wasn't like that at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes we just don't know what's going on inside. Right. And so, and you think about the times in your lives that you've maybe really struggled with something and how likely were you to reach out to someone, right? You know, we're all a little hesitant for fear of being judged or, you know, laughed at or dismissed.
I don't know. I think you're probably, people have that fear, but you got to be a really good friend. You got a parish priest or a brother that's like, look, man, and just that first conversation could give you a lot of clarity on what's next. But yeah, I agree. People who don't talk to anybody, I think, are the most vulnerable people.
Absolutely.
What do you guys, if somebody called your place like and said they were in that dark place, what are some of the things you say to encourage them to try to pull them back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we focus, mostly on prevention. So which might sound silly because what you're saying is, you know, how do you prevent someone from doing that? But if someone calls us and says that they are feeling suicidal, now we're into intervention. So now we're actually intervening. And so typically what we would do is encourage them to call 988 or text 988. But when we talk about how do you persuade someone to stay alive, how do you persuade someone to want to continue living? So some of the things we really focus on is listening openly, non-judgmentally. Because sometimes, you know, someone might share with you that they're feeling suicidal or struggling with something, and you might be thinking, well, that doesn't seem like something to be suicidal about to me. You know, the best example, you know, I can think of is a teenager who, you know, the girlfriend breaks up with him and he's like, this is the end of the world, right? And us as parents are like, you'll be okay. You know, we know he'll be okay.
I guess let's tell you something else, though, that parents would be at, and are at a loss for in a lot of ways. The bullying happening to young kids these days and the amount of suicides is catastrophic nationwide, isn't it?
It is. It's certainly something to think about. I would say here in Winnebago County and even out of Gamey, the suicide rate for teens is very low.
Okay, that's great.
So it is. It is. Where we obviously focus on all populations, but where we're really looking at is that middle-aged men. From 35 to 65, what's going on with these guys that they're less likely to reach out for help? The pressures and stress seem to be compounding. And how do we reach that population?
Interesting.
And with that population, or actually with any population, it's not from I had a good day to suicide. You know, there's just so much that happens in between there. Everything from, you know, feeling alone or a lost job crisis, you know, and those are things that got to be talked about because I think it can get progressively worse kind of quickly. You know what I mean? You know that better than I do. Tell me, I want to talk a little bit more about the grief counseling because suicide causes a lot of guilt for the survivors, a lot of guilt. It's like, why did I do that? Why did I do that?
And suicide. And I just want to say one thing. Just Texas is going right along with what you're saying here. Goes right along with it. So glad you're having this discussion. Reach out for help. They are out there, right. Mark.
There's quite a lot of resources out there, quite honestly, to get that. And we're going to circle back to that. But I just want to talk a little bit about the grief counseling because there are people who lost someone to suicide and they haven't gotten over it. I mean, you're talking 10, 12, 15 years.
Yes. Yeah. So we offer, and we know that suicide grief is a different kind of grief.
Right.
You know, it's different than, you know, my grandmother died and, you know, she was ill. And so it's a little bit different. So we offer two grief support groups, one in Oshkosh here at Oak Haven Church, the third Thursday of every month at 6:30. It's a drop-in group. You don't have to register. Mm. You can decide at the last minute if you want to come. And it's led by peers. And it's peers, individuals who have lost someone to suicide. So it's very informal, get together, just make that connection. And we also offer quarterly a six-week, once-a-week group that's facilitated by myself or another clinical therapist. And it's really just a little bit more structured, gets into a little bit more deeper feelings and thoughts. But our first group, I had to kick that group out the last week. They like didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. So then I kick them out to the lobby and then I kick them out to the parking lot. And as I'm leaving, they're all still standing in the parking lot talking. Mm-hmm. So,
you said if I give you 3 hours, we come back, we'll give you about 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's about
I want to talk about some of those warning signs. And you know what? We talk about that group. It reminds me of a really popular song right now by Jelly Roll about him going to rehab where he finally he was in such a depth. And one of the guys that opened his eyes says, hey, don't worry about it. Nobody walks in here on a winning streak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's like so many people having the same things. We got to talk more about that as soon as we come back. Sarah, stay with us. Mino and the Mayor right after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Nightlight with Peach Wabba. This week, he welcomed on comedian and actor Skip Gerparis. They chat about his role in Major League, his interactions with Bob Uecker, and about touring with Olivia Newton-John.
To announce, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a new sponsor here at Nightlight. Helping us light the night every night here will be, what better than a cigar company? Appleton Cigar on College Ave has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado or just starting out, pop into Appleton Cigar and check out their largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee. Over 700 cigars to choose from and a walk-in humidor. Conrad, you know what I like about a walk-in humidor, right?
What's that?
You just walk right in. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. They'll help you out if you're not sure yourself, like I think probably a lot of people aren't. But for the full experience, go to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Avenue, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. Keep your texts coming. We are our question of the night is, who is your favorite underdog? It could be from TV or film or real life, so let us know. And we will read your text on the radio. Joining me now on the show is a very funny stand-up comedian and actor. You might, I'm sure you've seen him if you've seen Major League. And I wanted to have him on the show for a while. And then when Bob Uecker passed away, sadly enough, that's what got me going, oh my God, I haven't had Skip on yet. So joining us now on the stream is the very funny, very talented Skip Gerperis. Skip, how are you?
Hi, Pete. How you doing? You know, it's great when my very famous friends die, I become popular right away. Is that a good thing?
I'm sure.
I don't know if that is that good. I don't think so. I played in the Olivia Newton-John band. When she passed away, everybody, you know, wanted to talk to me. The rest of the time, nobody cares. But I think I'm running out of famous, you know, former partners to die and give me some publicity. But
Well, I'm sure your dance card has been full the last week. You kind of mentioned it was in our exchange, but it's great to have you on the show, Skip.
Thank you.
And before we get to Bob Uecker, I want to tell you, I'm not sure if I ever shared this with you, but I was a stand-up comic in the 90s and worked zanies a lot. My aunt, Trish, was married to a guy named Tom Higgins, who is Jimmy Higgins' younger brother.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy Higgins, great stand-up comic from Chicago. Sure. So they took me to a show at Zany's knowing I was interested in stand-up comedy. And Jimmy was the middle act. You were the headliner that night. And I literally had tears coming out of my eyes. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Was that horrible? Was that horrible? You cried?
I was crying because I saw the bill. And for a college kid, that was a lot of money.
It was. It's
you guys were a great show. Jimmy set you up perfectly. He was hysterically funny. And then you got up there with your guitar and you were doing Olivia Newton-John. I mean, it was just such a great night.
Thank you. Good that it was a good night. They weren't all good shows. Most of them were.
Yeah.
Once in a while, there's a clunker, you know.
I know. It's hit or miss. But are you still working the clubs?
No, I gave that up 15, 16 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I got too old. My subject matter was starting to not be relatable to the young kids coming into the club, you know, doing impressions of Paul McCartney and so on to people that have never heard of Paul McCartney. It's not, you know, not a great formula for big laughs.
There was a guy in Chicago named Ace Sammarco, who I didn't know that well, but he kind of just hit the open mics and he would do impressions from people I had never even heard. Like when I was 22, I didn't know who Bela Lugosi was. And I'm like, this guy's up there doing Bela Lugosi and Thomas Jefferson impressions. And so it was kind of a stretch though. I'm sure he was great at it, but if people don't know who you're talking about, it's probably.
How do you know if he's doing a good Thomas Jefferson impression? That's what I'd like to know.
I just assumed it was, and I wanted it to be because I liked him personally, Skip.
Oh, good. Okay. That makes sense.
So what are you doing, cruises or how do you?
No, okay. No. At some point, the older audiences didn't want me poking fun at their musical heroes anymore.
Okay.
So I had to turn it around and do tributes to the same people I was, you know, poking fun at back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
I do Heroes of Rock shows. They're histories. I do histories of rock and roll. So it's a mixture of great songs, background information, and humor. History, humor, and the heroes and the hits. And that goes over really well. So I don't make fun of me or situations or whatever, not the actual artists themselves, you know. It's like kicking a dead horse. I still do all the voices and so on, and I play guitar, and most of my shows are solo. I've got 7 different shows. I've got maybe 8 hours of songs and material.
Wow.
So that's not easy at my age, trying to memorize all this stuff, because you know, but somehow I do it. And people love it. I kind of enjoy it. It's a challenge always to recreate these records and so on with just one guy and a guitar.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you ever come to Wisconsin with that show?
I played a couple times in Kenosha.
Okay.
For Frank Carmichael. I can't remember the name of his. It's mostly a comedy club, but and then they've got another side with music acts and so on. I worked the comedy venue, which was a nice venue to work. But I haven't done a show in Milwaukee in a long time. Love to.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to come up. You know, there's a few spots around here that I think your show would go over really well. I'd love to have you in the studio. Tim Cavanaugh was here not too long ago, brought his guitar. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. So let's keep talking. I would love to have that. Okay. Is such a fun show. And who doesn't love the oldies? And I'm sure you add humor to it where it's just a really enjoyable night. And yeah, we'll have to keep talking.
Thank
about
you. I'd like to think that it is. And audiences seem to agree. So.
Yeah. So Skip Kiparis is my guest. He is a former stand-up comedian, still out there working the road, playing shows, though.
Still out in the trenches, as we say.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure the audiences are much more forgiving than stand-up comedy audiences when you're doing trivia.
Oh, yeah. I don't get heckled too many times anymore. I did a senior center once, and some woman was just out of her mind and just couldn't stop talking. And you know, what am I going to do if I can't slam, you know, a 70-year-old woman to get her to shut up? You just hope that somebody in charge would walk over to her and say, shh, you know, but that doesn't always happen.
God.
But it's usually they're participating, not complaining. They're participating too much.
Right. They mean well. There. Yeah.
They mean well. They're having a good time and.
Absolutely. So we got to do a few minutes of news here, Skip, and then I want to come back and ask you all about Major League and your experience with Bob Uecker and your experience on the film and what it was like. I'm truly fascinated by that. So we'll do that after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwab hanging out with Skip Kiparis here on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I talk to you in the night, in your dream of love so true.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We're talking more baseball up next on the Maggie Dawn Show, as she recalls the game in 2008 where the Brewers made it to the playoffs for the first time since 1982.
My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Usually I'm drawing about politics and economics and wonky legal stuff because I'm your friendly lady lawyer and economist and political commentator that you can find here on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you from 5:40 a.m. the WAUK every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. But if you're not in southeastern Wisconsin, don't worry, you can catch me on the free Civic Media app and across every single one of Civic Media's talk radio network stations. But in addition to talking about politics and economics and the law and all this wonky business, I've decided we all need a midweek break in this news segment that will be every 3:30 on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 3:30 that I have dubbed Over the Hump and Trump, because we all need a break, including me. And this morning, I had a little segment planned for today. We're going to use it next week because there's some really cool news that broke this morning that I have a deep personal connection to. Let's take a listen. If you haven't already heard, Cardi's got cut 1C that will tell you about the big news that broke this morning.
I'm trying to reach CC's event.
Yeah, please.
This is him.
CC, hi. This is Jack O'Connell with the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you'll be doing fine, too, in about 2 seconds. The writers have elected you to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Folks, that is the sound of former Brewers pitcher CC Sabathia getting the news from the Baseball Writers Association that he, on the very first ballot, has been voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame for CC. Cooperstown awaits. Now, you got to go back into the Brewers annals for why this is such a big deal for Brewers fans. Now, he closed out his career with the New York Yankees, and I'm glad he got to wear the pinstripes. That was a big deal for Mr. Sabathia. But for Brewers fans, including this lady here, his time with the Brewers was basically historic. Now, we've got some of the sound from one of the most notable games that CC ever pitched for the Brewers, and we're going to get to that. You're not going to want to miss that. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about Mr. Sabathia. By the way, I have a signed baseball from CC Sabathia. I have a few like little nerdy sports memorabilia things. And that one is one of my prized possessions. It's second only to the signed baseball that my dad signed after he cracked a home run in Old County Stadium before it was torn down when he was playing in men's senior baseball, which I love. But yes, I have a baseball signed by Mr. Sabathia. CC played in Major League Baseball for 19 years, which is really incredible. And for 3 months in 2008, he put the Brewers on his back and carried them into the playoffs. This was notable, of course, because the Brewers had not been to the playoffs since 1982, a 26-year drought. Now, everybody that's big fans of the Brewers these days, it seems like we make the playoffs every year. We've been spoiled. But back in the day, it wasn't so. It was a big, big dry spell. Now, I was but a little kid back in 82 and the 13-game winning streak in 83. And I remembered all that so fondly. My father gave me my love of baseball and specifically the Brewers. But that game in 2008 was absolutely amazing. He was brought to the Brewers in July of 2008 before the All-Star game in a major trade. He was brought in from Cleveland in exchange for Matt LaPorta, Zach Johnson, Rob Bryson, and Michael Brantley. So it was a huge deal. He made 17 starts for the Brewers, pitched 7 complete games. I just want everybody to marinate on that. 7 complete baseball games. That like never happens anymore. That's how dominant CC Sabathia was. But what I will always remember is one particular baseball game that occurred on September 28th, 2008. And Cardi, if we can start to get that sound queued up. This was the game that the Brewers had to win. They were playing at home. They had to win this game to get to the playoffs. And they were playing our I-94 rivals, those dreaded and dastardly Chicago Cubs. Boo. Everybody should be booing. Yes, boo. So it was a big deal. Now, at the time, I had moved back to the Midwest. And I was living in Chicago. I came up for that game because it was such a big deal. And I brought with me the guy I was dating at the time, who wasn't a huge baseball fan, but I was like, honey, get your butt in the car. We're going to Milwaukee because this is the game. This is a big, huge deal. And Sabathia had been so dominant. And so we've got some sounds from that game. And it seems like kind of this oddly kismet event that, of course, we lose the beloved Bob Uecker last week. And you're going to hear a little Uke doing some game calls from this special game on September 28th, 2008. But I was there with the guy I was dating and watched what was one of the most exciting sporting events I have ever seen in my entire life. Now, let me set the stage for this first cut that we've got from that game going back to September 28th, 2008. It is the bottom of the eighth inning. It is tied. The Brewers and the Dastardly Cubs are tied 1-1. There is a man on first base and Ryan Braun is up to bat. Let's take a listen to what happened next.
And there's a drive to the left field. This is hit well. And it's gone! Ryan Braun! A two-run home run! The Brewers take the lead!
And with that swing of the bat, the Brewers take the lead over the Dastardly Cubs 3-1. And if you're watching on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Insta, or Facebook, you have just seen me put on my wild card hat from 2008, bought on September 28th, 2008. Now, the Brewers needed to hold on, of course. Got to close out this game. So what came next? CeCe taking the mound for yet another complete game at the top, on the top of the ninth inning. Now, one of the Cubs, they get on first base, and then this went down. Let's take a listen to Uke.
Everybody in this place is standing. 45,299. Sabathia sets. Here it is. Swing and a bouncer. Double play ball. JJ, second. Relay.
Folks, I lost my mind. I had tears coming down my face when that happened. I have tears welling up in my eyes right now. It was absolutely overwhelming. I was one of over 45,000 fans that watched CeCe, again, carry the Brewers on his back into the postseason. Now, what made this extra special, including the win, including the go-ahead home run from Braun, including this historic season that CeCe helped close out for the Brewers to get them into the playoffs for the first time in 26 years? But here's what was extra special and that will always set this moment and this game apart in my sports fan memory was that every single one of those over 45,000 fans didn't leave the stadium. And they didn't leave the stadium because the Marlins were playing the Mets in Miami. And the Marlins, if they beat the Mets, locked the Brewers into the postseason. And again, those dastardly Mets, whom I will always hate after this last season for the Brewers. And so we all waited there with the game, the Marlins game, on the Jumbotron. And of course, there were people that whipped out huge stuffed Marlins because we were all rooting for the Marlins against those dastardly Mets. And I think we've got enough time to take a listen to a call of everybody waiting next.
Sabathia! A complete game! And the Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1! Wow. Raise a glass, Milwaukee!
What a game! My goodness, they guarantee at least a one-game playoff. Unbelievable game here at Miller Park. Incredible atmosphere. What a finish.
Complete game number 10 for Sabathia. Number 7 is a Brewer. On 3 days rest, he finishes one. And the Brewers win a huge one. The 90th win of the year. And now everybody watches and waits while the Mets and the Marlins finish up.
So we're all waiting. And then this happens.
All right, Craig, thanks. And we're here in the clubhouse, obviously, because it's so tapered off and protected, the lockers and the TVs. All of the players are in the dining room, the players' dining room. They're all stuffed in there waiting for the final out. Of course, they're watching the Mets game, and just like we're watching the Mets game. And as soon as it ends, if it does end in a Marlins victory, you can bet pandemonium right in here. We'll be here. So we're all ready to go down in the clubhouse.
You got your Teflon shirt on?
I've been looking to get rid of the shirt for years.
Do they make waterproof shirts?
I think goggles are a must now. Champagne stings.
Uh-oh.
So.
Long fly.
Yeah. And here we go. Look out, boys.
The Brewers are going to the playoffs in 2008.
That is the crowd.
How sweet it is.
45,000 fans watching the Jumbotron.
Everybody was like, of the Brewers clubhouse. Champagne is popping and spraying.
It's like winning the lottery twice
in one stinking day here at Miller Park. What a scene. 1982, the last time this team went to the playoffs, and they're finally back. In 1982, there was no wild card. In 2008, there's only one, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers.
The players came back out onto the field. The fans streamed onto the field. I didn't think I felt my feet touch the cement in Miller Park for the next 20 minutes. It was insane. And I'm going to tell us all what this moment has to say about this time right now in these United States. So come back with me, because I always try to pull it all together for you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My hat's off to you, Mr. CC Sabathia. I'm so happy you made the Hall of Fame on the first vote. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be right back.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping up the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we're continuing the theme of sports. We go to the John and Gordy Show down in Madison, and this week they welcomed on Pat McBride, author of The Luckiest Boy in the World, a book he co-wrote with his twin brother about how in the late 60s and early 70s he worked for the Brewers, Bucks, and Packers all at the same time as a teenager.
All right, time for us to welcome in our guest. Pat McBride is with us. He's an author. He wrote this book called The Luckiest Boy in the World. Pat, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good to have you with us. Now, understand, you know, we introduced you as being someone who, as a young man, you worked for the Brewers, the Bucks, and the Packers.
That's correct.
All around the same time, right?
Yeah, at age 15.
Wow. Well, tell us, first of all,
yeah.
about your experience with the Brewers. How do you get a job with the Brewers as a young man? As a bat boy, right?
Yes. Well, actually, let me just say, you know, listening to your show on the way in, my mother was a political reporter and covered the White House. And so I first started, I met three different presidents on my way in.
No kidding.
This is an interesting time. Yeah.
Which three?
Well, JFK, she worked on JFK's campaign. So I met him several times. And then I met LBJ at the White House. She took us to the White House. And then I met Tricky Dick. And so we've been here before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I was there when he did the famous, you know, sign.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I'm not a crook.
Yeah, I am not a crook. We snuck in, my twin brother and I wrote this book, and we snuck in and saw him do that. And just then somebody came up and tapped us on the shoulder and said, "Hey, you kids aren't supposed to be here." So then I decided I didn't have a career in politics. My twin brother is the mayor of Wauwatosa, and he and I decided it's time to write this book. So I got a job with the Brewers when Bud Selig said, you know, we need Major League Baseball back in Milwaukee. We used to run around the stadium when the Braves were there. Mm-hmm. And Bud Selig, I opened the paper up one morning, the Milwaukee Sentinel, and there was an essay contest to work for the Brewers that he was bringing back to Milwaukee.
What year was this?
That actually was 1969. He had 11 games with the White Sox. Okay. He was trying to buy the White Sox. And there was an essay that said, you know, I want to be a bat boy because. So I wrote, I want to be a bat boy because I would like to be doing a small part to bringing baseball back to Milwaukee. I would hope the spirit I would show would be contagious. 25 words.
Oh, and that's very nice.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 15. And the judge of the contest was Eddie Matthews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he picked my essay.
No.
Out of 1,000 kids.
That's great.
Yeah.
Who's third baseman?
Third baseman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And now... of course, with the passing of Bob Uecker just a few days ago, I got to ask about that. Did you get to know him pretty well?
Got to know him real well, yeah.
And you do a terrific Uecker imitate. Let's hear your Uecker, okay?
Yeah.
Come on.
Just a little bit high and get up. Get out of here for Robin. Hey, how about that? Another home run for Robin, two in this game.
Yes. Wow, that's spot on.
Yeah.
So give us a Uecker story or two.
Yeah. So what you heard on the radio and what you saw on the TV was Bob Uecker 100% of the time.
I want to also bring up something else. You have forwards in here, one by Eddie Doucette.
Yeah. Terrific guy. I'm still in touch with him.
He was the Bucks announcer for many years, right?
He looks the same age as he did then.
Really?
Yeah. You know, the Bucks as a franchise wouldn't have really made it without Eddie Doucette in those first 2 years.
Yes.
He made them statewide. And then, you know, once Kareem came and everything, it took off. But Eddie Doucette, with the nicknames and the energy and everything, people loved him.
Yeah.
And they still talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
So when people saw that Eddie Doucette did that forward, this helped this book tremendously.
Absolutely. Well,
so you were a ball boy with the Bucks when Lou Alcindor / Kareem was there.
Yeah. I have a ring.
You got the ring, too.
I got the ring. Because here's how it happened. So I called the Bucks when I had a transistor radio for my paper route. Every kid had a paper route. So, you know, if you've got enough subscriptions, you get a transistor radio, right?
Right.
So when I heard they were going to do the coin flip, you know, the Bucks finished last the first year, and I heard they were going to do the coin flip. This is 69. What a year, right? Woodstock, boom.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to this little transistor radio to see what's going to happen with the coin flip and the Bucks. You know, the Phoenix Suns lose and the Bucks win the coin flip. And they're going to get Lou Alcindor. So I run to the rotary phone, pull out the yellow pages, look up the Bucks office. Now, this is so stupid because the Bucks office is going nuts. You know, I don't know this. I'm a stupid 15-year-old kid. And I dial their number, and this super nice lady, Jean Schuler, I still am in touch with her. I mean, think about this. I'm 71. I was 15. And she answers the phone politely. "Hello, Milwaukee Bucks." And I said, "How do you get a job as a ball boy?" And she said, "Well, we're interviewing tomorrow. I'll put your name on the list."
Wow.
And I took the bus downtown to Milwaukee and Porter. And I interview with about 350 kids with the general manager. This would never happen today. Wayne Amber, the coach, the trainer, and the equipment manager.
Wow.
And I get the... They really liked me, so they put me on the Bucks bench. So Kareem and I started at the same time.
And we won the championship.
You did.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, we've covered the Bucks and the Brewers. Let's move on to the Packers.
Yeah. So the Packers played 5 games in Milwaukee then because Vince Lombardi was so afraid that the NFL would put a franchise in Milwaukee and really hurt Green Bay. So he put these games down there. So they played in County Stadium, which was crazy because they're playing on a baseball field, right? And the infield was as hard as this table, right?
Yeah.
So was when I was working with the Brewers, I was so grateful for this job. It was such a terrific job. You know, you're meeting everybody. I met the coaches that were on these teams were Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Yogi Berra, Warren Spahn. I mean, killer's row. I mean, I met guys you wouldn't believe, you know. And I could go on. I could. It was every famous baseball player you'd ever heard.
A golden era, really.
Oh, my God, it was. I mean, I worked for the Baltimore Orioles as a bat boy. I would work on the visiting side oftentimes. You know, that was the year they had 420 game winners and won the World Series and beat the Cincinnati Reds. I worked for the Oakland Athletics with Reggie Jackson. You know, can you imagine kneeling in a circle next to Reggie Jackson?
No.
Carl Yastrzemski, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, talking to these guys, I got to be a bat boy in Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, you know. It's every kid's dream come true. But anyway, so I'm like, what do I got to do to keep this job? So I hustled and hustled and hustled. So the guy working in the clubhouse says to me, hey, how would you like to work the Packer games? I'm a kid from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Why ask?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You know, so I ran, so what I did was I ran and ran and ran. I never took one walking step in any in the arena or the stadium. So I would run everywhere. And so he's still my friend. That guy is an unbelievable friend. So I worked the Packer game. So you worked the sidelines and you carry out all the equipment through the tunnels and up the dugout steps. And we worked the Packer game. So that was Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke, Willie Wood, Herb Adderley, Dave Robinson, you name it.
Pat McBride, great to have you with us.
Bet, man.
And
thanks for the book.
Yeah, the book is The Luckiest Boy in the World. Where can people find
it? They can find it at Mystery to Me and Leopold's and Amazon and lots of local bookstores around the state.
Thank you, Pat.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.